What's your name?
Peter John.
The story you're going to tell.
About making sleds and canoe and about the snowshoes. I'm going to talk about snowshoes first.
Okay.
I dachte leite ich auch hat nachtedetik not stosh bant nelkhoy khartel chik te khada gura te ich ne zon so khar khotan tetika natichik te khada te kech te zon bal khotan that the richina na antenna tracti that's a the hotel could I keep so let's but what the name she took by the elbow how long the snowshoes gonna be I can't tell that in Indian I don't know they go out for birch and there is a different kind of a birch you could see the limbs hanging down like this that's a kind of rib birch that you on snowshoes is they measure it by the arm and by the foot like this and then the front piece is like this and the back end is I think it's yeah like this I never iki on a birch and a mountain raft at silly like ich reden Chenachu good Tsaba Hitel Chayit Chenat Heron Kay Yokanak Tedic Yik Tetal Oyet Tree Lot Hareli Yikudat Yerte Yokoi Get a Hai Tayin Talkai That It's a hard work, the birch bark canoe. This is the birch bark canoe in English. They get the spruce tree, the branches is right straight out. That's the kind you get to use for canoes. With them with no limbs. It's just got to be smooth, but 18 feet long. That's a big canoe for two person. And about 15 or 14 feet is little canoe, one man's canoe. They use the same thing as a crooked knife. And if you see anybody making that kind of canoe right now, the way it was made about 70 years ago, I don't think anybody could make it because it's awful hard to make it. You got no saw, you got no hammer, you just got axe or wooden axe or bone axe, whatever there is. That's the reason why they get them trees that's real, the branches is right straight out. And the grain has got to be right straight. And when you split it, you got to split right straight in the middle and make a four pieces out of it. And then when you make a four pieces, you lift it up one side and you get that straight grain, you put the axe in there and you hit it every once in a while and take about a quarter of an inch off. And you keep doing that till you get enough for the canoe. And they're about 2 inches wide or an inch and a half wide. And then you get that the top rail, they split that with a bone axe, right straight down the middle, and that's where you put that birch bark in. And then you put it, you double it down there on the side, and then you saw the women's, they saw that with a roots, the spruce roots. They gather that up before freeze up. And that way they don't have to use frozen ground to cut it out. And they make it as nice and thin. And then they saw the top, and they fancy it, and then the whole canoe, when they used to make, there's not one nail under. Everything is with these spruce roots. The one they take out is, they use that. No nail. They use spruce, and then birch bark, and then they use birch for the ribs, and then they use that spruce roots for the sawing, and then the pitch and the rawhide. Very seldom they use rawhide, just little piece. That's what they use for a canoe. I used to remember I used to go with them for birch bark, for canoe. Travel all day and all night, and when the sap on the trees come out, that when you cut that birch, it just come off just without much work. Another way, they used to cut the birch down when it's long. They used to cut that birch down, and just as soon as it was falling, they grabbed the ground moss, and they put it on top that stump where they're cutting that trees. They cannot read the chin. So that means they want that, where they want to cut it, to be up. There is a certain place where they cut that birch. It's one thin spot right in the middle. There's only one line. And you got to find that line, and you got to cut right on that line in order to get the birch for canoe. Now that's the end of the canoe. Now I'm going to talk about slat. Same as the K-Yokanak-Tedadik. And could I get that a tilter? K-Khadi-Tay-Tigalti. Hotl-Chin-Khadi-Tay. And then Hotl-Tiller. Hotl-Zimbaga. And then Hotl-Kachina. Khaldakti, Natik-Tajan, Tak-Tajan, Khayoj-Ghidnay. Nakhay-Tilyay. And then yachtarla for maybe 6 days. Then the kunti could add nana khaitilai and could add khayogatatni. About hotel raya hotlan and khayil tath, the khayil bukhag khachol ghatatni, so could add khaitini. Then Sige and Soga is the Sahitilai. Talking about making sled about 70 years ago is quite a work. They go out to get birch, it takes them to about a week to gather up the birch. They get runners, the side ones, the ribs, the cross piece, and the legs, and the handlebar, and the front piece, all is gathered up. And it's got to be a real good birch. Some birch is, it looks pretty straight by just looking at it. But then some birches wear pretty fast. Some birch is no good when you use it. It just get rough under the runners. That's the kind they don't try to get that kind. They try to get something that'll just hard when it dries, just hard. And them days I'm talking about is no plane, no drill, no auger. They use a handmade chisel and handmade little handmade drill. And I seen my father make slat that kind. Now I don't know how long it take him. It take him awful long time to put it together. But then they make it. They use the crooked knife. And when them people use crooked knife, just like a person used plane. It's that smooth where they cut it with a crooked knife because they're pretty good at it. And it takes them about, about 10 days to get it, everything all fixed up. You get new slat. And the kind of a slat I'm talking about is you don't see that kind of slat. They bend on both sides, one in front and one in the back. Because they don't use dogs. They drag it by their neck. Right now, about 25 years ago, they got the runner sticking out in the back so you can jump on once in a while when you drive dogs. But them days, there was nobody drive dogs. So the kind of a bird you got to get is the kind of a real good bird. And I know because I make slat, I make snowshoes, I make canoes, almost make everything, paddle and everything myself. And the things that people taught me, the old people taught me, is the way I used to get the birch and spruce trees for canoes a long time ago. Right now, the young people don't understand these things. You go out and cut down any kind of a tree, they think it's a good one. Sometimes it don't even last one winter, it just go to pieces before the winter is over. Sometimes the old people used to make snowshoes, and it lasts for maybe 2 or 3 years because they get the right kind of a birch and more lighter. And as it grew older, you can bend them to rebend them over again. I'm going to talk about the bow and arrow. Well, I'm going to say it in English about the bow and arrow. Bow and arrow is the bow is made out of birch, same as you get it for snowshoes or. It's got to be real good birch to dry it. And you got to have a certain way to dry them in order to get a bow, the right kind of bow you want. Now, summertime they get the willow, dry willow for bow, because they get wet, they never get soft. And they used to use that for young ducks and stuff when they used to go out for fish, white fish, and spear. They used to have spear for bear. Deenok, they used to use for beaver. Teldeye, they used for fish. White fish, springtime when it come out, it just go like this white fish, and you hit them right with bow and arrow. I used to kill them that kind with bow and arrow too. Young ducks, I used to kill them with bow and arrow a lot of times. There are certain ways, a certain arrow, like the ones they got in the stores right now. You can get it in some sporting goods stores. Some arrows got a point that you hit the moose with it, and the point just go right through the moose. Them old people, when they used to hit moose long time ago before they had rifle. That arrow just goes going right straight through. It's like a bullet. And the brown bear is the same thing. They hit it with a bow and arrow and they just know where to hit it. The thing to know is how to hit the animal, big animal like that with bow and arrow, because you just there's rips inside the moose and bear, and once you hit that bone, you haven't got chance to hit him right. Can't kill him outright. That's the way. If it stand right straight crossway, you're either going to hit the bone or miss it. Sometimes the moose got to stand a little bit front in order for you to hit him right, the last rips, and go right straight up in towards the heart. You used to have them arrow with a flat point in there. And when you hit the water with that flat head, it just run on top of the water and it hit the ducks right in the head. And that way you get the ducks. Now they used to hunt the beaver the same way with bow and arrow. They hit them right in the head with a bow and arrow. Not them short pointed one. It's them flat pointed one with a bone head. They use that and they kill beaver with it. It takes awful lot of power to hit a beaver in the head and knock him out. But they kill him outright with bow and arrow. There's a lot of ways people used to make a living a long time ago. I'm going to try to explain a little about how to avoid that. When you got no gun, and when you got no way to help yourself. If you was walking, a good sunny day out, and if you see a rabbit sitting down, he's either right where he's going to hide under, he's sitting right by the door where he's going to go under the ground. So the best way to do is get a little stick about a foot and a half long and throw it right above him. And just as soon as he hear that stick hit the brush above him, and he just dive for that hole. And you run over there and you set a snare right at the mouth of that little hole there. You set a snare there and you go around behind it and you take a long stick and you poke around there, and he'll jump out and you'll catch him there without a gun. That's the way they used to make a living a long time ago. Brown bear is the same way. You got to be awful careful with these things. The brown bear is awful danger, because a long time ago people used to have just a bow and arrow and spear, and when they find brown bear hibernate, they gotta get a big birch or spruce tree to try to block it. Once they block it, they gotta stand there and protect. As soon as he find out somebody blocking him, he'll grab that stick and he'll try to pull it in or break it. While he's doing that, the other fella come jump down there in front of that brown bear, and he used his bow and arrow. He get down on his knee and he hit him right in his chest. And once that happened, he run out of the way and that bear just come out. But you gotta know how to handle it. There's a lot of ways can be done, which I see the old people used to do a long time ago. When you see rabbits, and when you're going to try to set snare for it, remember, I don't care where you go, that have always something handy in your pocket that you'll use in case of emergency. That's what they used to do a long time ago, them people. for them to try to survive. Anything that is handy is what they want to use if something like that happened. In rabbits, they have to have rabbit snare in their pocket or any kind of strong twine they have in their pocket to try to make a snare out of it right away. And they have to watch that so that rabbits wouldn't come out right away. Because once he get in there, he'll try to come right back out. And you got to be pretty fast to run over there and try to block it. Once you block it, you have to stay there till you set that snare. Make sure that you got to sit right in order to catch that rabbit. So always, I think it's wise for a person to have something in his pocket when he goes out on a trail or any place in case of... You see a nice, good, fat rabbit on the trail, he's got to catch it, well, he's got to have something.